Brought to you by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis. This edition highlights key LinkedIn posts on social selling in weeks 23 and 24. Frenis supports clients with identifying target attendees for events, crafting outreach that cuts through the noise, and driving qualified registrations through strategic LinkedIn engagement. You can find more info in the description.
You know, imagine finding out that 18 out of the 22 people deciding whether or not to buy your software will actually never speak to your sales team.
Wait, 18 out of 22, that's almost everyone.
Literally almost everyone. They're never going to join a discovery call. They won't see your demo. Instead, they're making a multi-million dollar decision based on what they just silently observe about you online.
Wow.
Yeah. So welcome to this deep dive into the top social selling trends and insights we've seen across LinkedIn.
Okay, let's unpack this, because if you're a B2B marketing professional listening to this, you already know the landscape right now is, frankly, incredibly loud.
Oh, absolutely deafening.
Right. The old playbooks are failing, and we're all trying to figure out what actually drives revenue versus, you know, what just drives vanity metrics.
Yeah, those empty likes.
Exactly. So our mission for you today is simple. We have sifted through a massive amount of curated LinkedIn insights from calendar weeks 23 and 24, so this is mid-2026, to extract the absolute best, most actionable strategies.
And we're covering a lot of ground today.
We really are. We're looking at the evolution of outbound systems, how authority is actually built, the reality of getting your employees to post, and the massive shift happening with B2B creators and paid media.
And I think we have to start by addressing the elephant in the room here. The way most companies do outbound right now is just fundamentally broken.
Yeah, the classic spray and pray.
Exactly. The era of spamming 5,000 people on LinkedIn with the exact same automated message, it's completely over. Alec Crowns actually brought this up perfectly in a recent post.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
He pointed out that the whole, you know, cold outbound is dead narrative is honestly just lazy. It's coming from people who refuse to adapt their systems. Because Cremins is actually pulling a 30% reply rate right now.
Wait, seriously, a 30% reply rate? Because, I mean, if I'm a sales director looking at standard cold email metrics where we celebrate, like a 1% or 2% conversion, 30% sounds completely made up.
I know, it sounds fake.
How is the math on that even remotely possible?
Well, the math only works because he fundamentally changed the denominator. He is achieving that 30% rate by targeting just 60 prospects.
Just 60, not 6,000.
Right. Not 6,000, just 60. And the mechanism behind this is just patience. He spends 1 to 2 entire weeks warming them up by thoughtfully engaging with their content before he ever sends a single direct message.
Okay, so that shifts the entire philosophy from volume to value. It's about matching the channel to the actual worth of the account. Alex Vaca had an incredible breakdown on this exact concept. He explicitly says you have to pick your outreach channel based on how much the account is worth to your business.
Yeah, tiered approach.
Exactly. Never. So cold email. That is your volume engine. You use that for your tier 2 and tier 3 accounts, sending hundreds of emails a day to scale. Then cold calling is your tier 1 closer.
And LinkedIn.
LinkedIn has to be treated as a highly calibrated precision play.
And precision requires a tremendous amount of restraint. Vaca actually caps his LinkedIn activity at about 40 direct messages and 25 connection requests a day for those top tier 1 accounts.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here for a second. If I have a massive pipeline quota to hit this quarter, capping my team at 40 DMs a day sounds terrifying. Like, why so low?
Because if you try to scale your LinkedIn outreach past those thresholds, the underlying math of the platform just turns against you. First of all, LinkedIn's algorithm will flag you for spam behavior and restrict your account.
Right, which is an absolute nightmare.
It is. And second, and honestly more importantly, buyers instantly see through the lack of personalization. If you push your best, most valuable tier one accounts into a massive automated cold blast, you are actively burning your best revenue opportunities.
You're just setting money on fire.
Exactly. You need an orchestrated system. Maja Vojay outlined this beautifully. She noted that most teams run one single tired LinkedIn play, right? They blast a cold DM to 500 people, cross their fingers, and then act surprised when their pipeline is entirely dry.
Right. Hope is not a go-to-market strategy.
It really isn't. So she outlines a stacked system of 7 different prospecting plays, and they're ordered by complexity. You start with the low-hanging fruit, like your personal network, then you move to event attendees, then people who engage with your posts.
Makes sense.
And finally, you build up to these complex multi-channel plays using tools like Clay and Sales Navigator as your orchestration layer.
And just for anyone listening who might not be in the weeds with the tech stack, when we talk about an orchestration layer like Clay, we essentially mean a piece of software that sits in the middle and connects all your different data sources.
Right, exactly.
It pulls in the prospect's info, their recent activity, their company news, so you aren't doing the manual copy-pasting yourself. It allows for personalized outreach at, you know, a Slate scale.
That's a great definition. And Miles Creener added another vital component to this concept. He pointed out that LinkedIn outbound isn't just sending more messages anymore. It actually requires 5 distinct layers to work in 2026.
Okay, what are they?
Lead sourcing, ICP scoring, signal detection, personalization, and reply triage.
Okay, let's break that down. ICP scoring, so ideal customer profile scoring, that means mathematically ranking how perfectly a company fits your target criteria before you ever reach out.
Yes, exactly.
And signal detection, that's looking for triggers. Like, did they just hire a new VP? Did they just raise funding?
You're looking for that buying window.
Right, so if cold email is fishing with a giant net, is LinkedIn social selling basically fishing with a highly calibrated spear, but you need 7 different types of spears depending on the exact fish you were going after?
That is a brilliant way to conceptualize it. You're identifying the exact target, understanding what currents they're swimming in right now, and using the right tool to reach them.
And the calibration is your ICP scoring and signal detection.
Exactly. And what's fascinating here is that the spear itself has to be designed around the buyer's problem, not your solution. Connor Paulson shared some striking data on the psychology of this.
Oh, I love some good data.
Yeah, he noted that problem-focused messages convert at 20 to 30%. Solution-focused pitches. They sit all the way down at 5 to 8%.
Wow. Because fundamentally, nobody cares about your shiny new software features if you haven't proven that you deeply understand their specific headache.
That's the trap most marketers fall into, right? Bad social selling makes the conversation about the seller. Good social selling makes it entirely about the buyer.
It has to be about them.
Always. And timing the delivery of that message is just as critical. Anthony Natoli shared a highly effective tactic demonstrating this. He pairs a really relevant day one email with a day 3 LinkedIn connection note.
Okay, but what does the note say?
Well, here's the secret. The connection note doesn't pitch anything. It literally just says, hey, I sent you an email yesterday. Just wanted to put a face to the name. It just points back to the email.
Oh, that's smart. It connects the dots across channels without triggering their defensive sales radar.
Exactly. It's very low friction.
And if we want to talk about warming up a prospect and lowering those defenses, Michael Kirsten and Virat Arora proved that commenting is basically the ultimate psychological cheat code right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Kirsten's data show that if you leave a thoughtful, non-AI generated comment on a prospect's post before you connect with them, your accept rates more than double, hitting around 78%, and your reply rates more than triple.
And, you know, why does that work so well? Because it leverages the human rule of reciprocity. By stepping onto their digital turf and publicly validating their ideas, you create this mild social obligation.
Right, you gave them something first.
Exactly. So when you finally ask for a connection privately, they feel compelled to reciprocate that attention. Arora takes this a step further and actually uses those comments as intent signals to build his outbound lists.
That's incredibly strategic.
It is. So if we connect this to the bigger picture, the takeaway for you listening is stark. You need a tiered system, you need data layers, and you need to be intensely relevant.
But, you know, here's where it gets really interesting. All of this highly calibrated precision outreach is completely useless if the destination is a dead end.
Oh, 100%.
Meaning, precision outbound only works if your LinkedIn profile and your content actually prove you are worth talking to once they click your name. And why does that matter? Because as we touched on earlier, you aren't just selling to the person you sent the DM to.
This is perhaps the most sobering reality check we've seen in the data. Leo D. Mills and Benjamin Poldayan highlighted recent 2026 data from Forrester.
And this is the 22 stakeholder stat, right?
Yes. The average B2B enterprise purchase now involves 22 stakeholders, 13 internal, 9 external. 22 people are evaluating your solution.
I mean, that is just a massive, unwieldy committee.
It really is. Your sales rep might have a relationship with 3 of them, maybe 4 if things are going incredibly well. The other 18 people, they're forming a consensus about you and your company right now without ever having a single conversation with your team.
They're just lurking.
Exactly. They are silently reading your LinkedIn posts. They are checking your founder's profile. Consensus forms in the quiet moments before the discovery call even happens.
That's terrifying. But it's also a huge structural opportunity if you know how to build your presence. Richard Vanderbloom broke down exactly how to win over that silent committee.
And his systems are always so meticulous.
They really are. He says winning requires predictable systems, not occasional luck. 78% of B2B buyers check a seller's profile before replying to any outreach.
78%? That's huge.
Right. So if your profile reads like a dry resume listing your quota achievements, instead of, you know, a landing page explaining how you solved their problems, you are actively losing deals.
You're basically turning them away at the door.
Exactly. He found that optimizing your profile to act as a value-driven landing page increases inbound inquiries 4.2 times.
And he doesn't stop at just the static profile. He preaches a 90-day authority system because the LinkedIn algorithm and honestly just human trust both require consistency.
You can't just post once a month.
No, you need 90 consecutive days of posting on one or two specific topics before the platform really starts distributing your content effectively to your target audience. You have to document one real specific client win per week.
So actual case studies.
Yes. Use real numbers, tag the company if possible. You have to let the results speak for you.
But wait, let me challenge this for a second. LinkedIn is constantly pushing this idea of thought leadership, right? And in reality, doesn't that usually just mean posting really safe, boring industry updates?
Yeah, yes.
You know the type, using a lot of consultant jargon, stating the obvious, and just trying to sound incredibly smart without actually saying anything controversial.
You are entirely right to be skeptical because 90% of what we see is exactly that boring, safe jargon. But Adam Knorr completely dismantled the idea that safe content works.
Thank goodness.
Right. He pointed out that the algorithm and basic human psychology actually rewards tension, conflict, hot takes, high stakes. That is what keeps people engaged.
It's what makes people stop scrolling.
Exactly. If you just post beige industry updates, you are going to get ignored by the committee. He framed it brilliantly. Thought leadership without tension is just a corporate memo, and nobody voluntarily reads a memo.
Oh, I love that. Thought leadership without tension is a memo. And Annabelle Pickens backed this up entirely.
What does she add?
She said your content shouldn't sound like a polished McKinsey article that went through like four rounds of legal review. It should sound like the real messy conversations and pushbacks you have on actual sales calls.
That is such great advice.
Yeah. Like, what complex concept did you have to explain on a call today? What stubborn objection did you handle? Write about that because that is where the real value lives.
Yes. And to build on that, it's about bringing the reality of your specific expertise into the feed. Magali Daru shared 5 specific copywriting moves that turn flat, boring drafts into posts that actually pre-sell your product.
Okay. I need these moves.
Well, it is all about granular specifics. Instead of writing, "We got great results for our client," right? "This system closed 88% of my leads," instead of "We helped them make more money," say "We generated 268K in 6 months.
Ah, so replacing the fluff with hard data.
Exactly. Vague claims get mentally skipped. Specific undeniable numbers get saved and shared by that 22-person committee.
But, you know, knowing that, the temptation for a busy marketer is to just open an AI tool, type in "write a post with tension and specific numbers," and let the machine do the work.
Which is a huge mistake.
Right. Sarah Robb had a great warning about this exact shortcut. She said AI-written personal brand foundations just feel empty. They lack the core emotion and the unique perspective that actually builds trust.
She is absolutely correct. If you rely entirely on AI, you bypass the critical thinking required to actually understand your audience.
You skip the hard work.
Yeah. She advises that before you ever open an AI tool, you need to sit down with an actual pen and paper to define your W and your what.
Pen and paper. Old school.
Very old school, but it works. Describe the specific person you help and the exact painful problem you solve in the messy language they actually use. Only after you've established that human nuance should you use AI to refine or format it.
Because that unique human signal is the only thing that builds genuine trust with those 22 stakeholders. So if individual human authority is what builds trust, what happens when we try to scale that up? Like, how does an entire brand harness that trust?
That is the pivotal question right now. And the answer requires looking far beyond the traditional corporate company page. Mm-hmm. Angelina Tadros dropped a massive data point on this.
Oh, the reach numbers.
Yes. She noted that LinkedIn has essentially throttled company page reach down to about 1.6%. That means out of every 100 followers your brand has meticulously acquired, maybe one or two actually see your post in their feed.
That is brutal. But she noted that if your engineers, your project managers, or your channel partners post that exact same piece of content, it gets 561% more reach.
Because the algorithm is designed for human connection. People follow people. A corporate logo just sits passively in the background. But, and this is a big but, Shiji Roy and Simon Heaton had a very clear warning about how companies typically try to execute employee advocacy.
Yeah, it's usually done so poorly.
It's not about sending a mass mandatory email to your staff asking them to copy and paste a sterilized marketing post. Roy pointed out that while genuine employee posts get 8 times more engagement, you absolutely have to fix your internal company culture before advocacy will ever work.
Meaning, if people aren't genuinely proud of where they work, no software tool is going to make them post about it.
No, they'll just resent it.
It's the difference between forcing your team to wear a corporate sandwich board out on a busy street versus giving them a microphone to share their own actual expertise on a stage. One is a humiliating corporate demand. The other is empowering their personal growth.
I'm really glad you brought up that analogy because the mechanism behind the embarrassment versus empowerment is what dictates success. Simon Heaton from Buffer emphasized this exact dynamic.
Buffer always does this well.
They do. You have to build a team of creators who post honestly in their own voices about what they are actually working on. A raw, authentic post from a product manager explaining a bug they fixed will always outperform a polished graphic from the marketing team. Consistency and authenticity completely beat polish.
Melanie Goodman and Amy Watts both spoke to the exact reasons why these employee programs usually crash and burn. Goodman said they fail when they are treated as broadcast demands from leadership.
Exactly, the YFM. If an engineer doesn't see how posting builds their own personal career equity or makes them more hireable or establishes them as an industry expert, they simply won't do it.
So for the B2B marketing professionals listening to us right now, your brand's true reach is currently locked inside the silent profiles of your smartest employees. You need to equip them with strategy, build their confidence, and clearly articulate their own benefit rather than just handing them robotic corporate scripts.
Which brings us to the final evolution of this landscape. Because if we are empowering individuals to be the face of the brand, what happens when we start putting actual paid marketing budgets behind those specific human voices rather than corporate ads?
We get a massive structural shift in how LinkedIn operates.
Yeah.
In week 24, LinkedIn officially launched its creator marketplace in alpha at a major event in the Empire State Building.
It's huge news.
We saw insights pouring out from Melissa Rosenthal, AJ Eckstein, Lindsay Gamble, and others who are actually in the room. This marketplace finally connects B2B brands directly with B2B creators right inside Campaign Manager.
This is a monumental shift because for years, finding the right B2B creator, someone who actually understands complex enterprise software or, you know, supply chain logistics, was an entirely manual, disjointed process.
Spreadsheets everywhere.
Exactly. Now, brands can search for creators by specific topics, and crucially, they can view verified first-party audience data to see exactly who follows them.
But the rules of engagement here are completely different than consumer influencer marketing on platforms like TikTok or Instagram.
Entirely different. AJ Eckstein and Chris Cunningham made this incredibly clear. In the B2B creator economy, deep relevance completely beats broad reach.
Okay, explain that.
Well, in consumer marketing, you might want millions of eyeballs for a new beverage launch. But in B2B, as Cunningham pointed out, a creator with 20,000 followers who speaks directly to CISO's chief information security officers is infinitely more valuable to a cybersecurity brand than a generalist business creator with 500,000 followers.
Oh, because of the buying committee.
Yes. You aren't booking 200 creators for a sneaker drop. You are trying to infiltrate that highly specific 22-person buying committee we talked about earlier.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. LinkedIn is essentially productizing trust. They are giving B2B marketers the actual infrastructure to buy the exact human credibility that the buying committee is desperately looking for and then distribute it at scale.
They absolutely are. And this ties directly into the new era of paid amplification. Zayed Said Ali and Garrett Caudill discussed how this fundamentally changes advertising strategy.
How so?
Caudill noted that the core media unit on LinkedIn is no longer a polished corporate graphic or a heavily produced video. It is an individual human voice with paid distribution layered behind it.
You were talking about thought leadership ads.
Yes, thought leadership ads. Zayed Said Ali gave a brilliant mechanical breakdown of how to run these effectively without wasting your budget.
Because it's so easy to waste money on ads.
Too easy. The beauty of this format is that you don't need to create new, soul-crushing ad creatives from scratch. You take your absolute best organic post, one from your founder or a key employee that has already proven it resonates with the market. You cut it down to make the hook punchier. You use a single compelling image, and you put a modest $30 to $50 a day behind it.
But the targeting's where people usually mess up and drain their budgets, isn't it?
That's exactly where campaigns fail. Sai Ali says you have to keep your audience tightly constrained under 500,000 people.
That feels small for an ad campaign.
It is, but if you go broader than that, you dilute your budget on people who aren't anywhere near a buying window. You have to turn off LinkedIn's automated audience expansion. Speak directly to the buyer's exact pain in their exact words.
And does it work?
When he ran this highly constrained playbook, a single ad drove 40 to 50 extra demos a month. It is entirely about putting proven, human-centric content in front of the right people repeatedly.
So what does this all mean? I mean, it all comes back to the human element, the highly calibrated outbound systems, the tension-filled profile optimization, the employee advocacy programs, the targeted paid amplification. Absolutely none of it works if the underlying message sounds like it was written by a corporate robot.
Which brings me to a final provocative thought I really want to leave you with.
Okay, let's hear it.
We are rapidly entering an era where B2B outreach can be perfectly automated with AI. At the exact same time, buyers are increasingly using AI tools to summarize their inboxes and screen LinkedIn profiles. What happens when your AI outbound system is essentially just pitching to their AI gatekeeper?
The circuit just closes entirely.
Exactly. The circuit becomes closed. The only thing that will break that automated loop and actually win the deal is the undeniable, messy, specific human signal embedded deep within your strategy.
If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, MarTech, go-to-market, and AI in B2B marketing.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an update.
Keep that human signal strong out there.
Yeah.
I'll see you next time.